Presently Sparrowhawk returned to him through the green shade of the orchard. Neither said anything, and they went on side by side. It was hot already. Last night's rain had dried, and dust rose under their feet on the road. Earlier the day had seemed dreary and insipid to Aaron, as if infected by his dreams. Now he took pleasure in the bite of the sunlight and the relief of shade, and enjoyed walking without brooding about their destination. This was just as well, for they accomplished nothing. The afternoon was spent in talking with the men who mined the dye ores, and bargaining for some bits of what was said to be Emmelstone. As they trudged back to Sosara, with the late sun pounding on their heads and necks, Sparrowhawk remarked, "It's blue malachite, but I doubt they'll know the difference in Sosara either." "They're strange here," Aaron said. "It's that way with everything. They don't know the difference. Like what one of them said to the headman last night. You wouldn't know the true azure from blue mud. They complain about bad times, but they don't know when the bad times began. They say the work's shoddy, but they don't improve it. They don't even know the difference between an artisan and a spell-worker, between handicraft and the art magic. It's as if they had no lines and distinctions and colors clear in their heads. Everything's the same to them. Everything's gray." "Aye," said the mage, thoughtfully. He stalked along for a while, his head hunched between his shoulders, hawk-like. Though a short man, he walked with a long stride. "What is it they're missing?" Aaron said without hesitation. "Joy in life." "Aye," said Sparrowhawk again, accepting Aaron's statement and pondering it for some time. "I'm glad," he said at last, "that you can think for me, lad. I feel tired and stupid. I've been sick at heart since this morning, since we talked to her who was a Karen. I do not like waste and destruction. I do not want an enemy. If I must have an enemy, I do not want to seek him and find him and meet him. If one must hunt, the prize should be a treasure. Not a detestable thing." "An enemy, my lord?" said Aaron. Sparrowhawk nodded. "When she talked about the great man, the king of shadows?" Sparrowhawk nodded again. "I think so," he said. "I think we must come not only to a place, but to a person. This is evil, evil, what passes on this island. This loss of craft and pride, this joylessness, this waste. This is the work of an evil will, but a will not even bent here, not even noticing a Karen or Lorbenary. The track we hunt is a track of wreckage, as if we followed a runaway cart down a mountainside and watched it set off an avalanche. Could she, a Karen, tell you more about this enemy, who he is and where he is or what he is?" "Not now, lad," the mage said in a soft but rather bleak voice. "No doubt she could have. In her madness there was still wizardry. Indeed, her madness was her wizardry. But I could not hold her to answer me. She was in too much pain." And he walked on with his head somewhat hunched between his shoulders, as if himself enduring and longing to avoid some pain. Aaron turned, hearing a scuffle of feet behind them on the road. A man was running after them, a good way off, but catching up fast. The dust of the road and his long, wiry hair made aureoles of red about him in the westering light, and his long shadow hopped fantastically along the trunks and aisles of the orchards by the road. "Listen," he shouted. "Stop! I found it! I found it!" He caught up with them in a rush. Aaron's hand went first to the air where his sword hilt might have been, then to the air where his lost knife had been, and then made itself into a fist, all in half a second. He scowled and moved forward. The man was a full head taller than Sparrowhawk and broad-shouldered. A panting, raving, wild-eyed madman. "I found it," he kept saying, while Aaron, trying to dominate him by a stern, threatening voice and attitude, said, "What do you want?" The man tried to get around him, to Sparrowhawk. Aaron stepped in front of him again. "You are the Dyer of Lorbenherry," Sparrowhawk said. Then Aaron felt he had been a fool, trying to protect his companion. And he stepped aside, out of the way. For at 6 words from the mage, the madman stopped his panting and the clutching gesture of his big, stained hands. His eyes grew quieter. He nodded his head. "I was the Dyer," he said. "But now I can't die." Then he looked askance at Sparrowhawk and grinned. He shook his head with its reddish, dusty bush of hair. "You took away my mother's name," he said. "Now I don't know her, and she doesn't know me. She loves me well enough still, but she's left me. She's dead." Aaron's heart contracted, but he saw that Sparrowhawk merely shook his head a little. "No, no," he said. "She's not dead, but she will be. She'll die."